Intervju Radija Študent.
Dame in gospodje, pozdravljeni, pozdravljene v današnjem Ereš intervjuju, v katerem bomo intervjuvali člana kalifornijske zasedbe Dead to Me. Slednji prihajajo iz San Franciska, z mano pa se bo pogovarjal basist in vokalist Chicken. Zdaj pa za Dead to Me danes nastopijo danes večer v Gromki, skupaj z domačimi Taking Over Mars. Zdaj pa preden zavijemo na tale intervju, pa poslušimo njihov komad Wait for it. Yeah. Hello, Chicken. Welcome to this interview.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, could you please, for a start of the interview, I've already introduced yourself, and you just tell me what's your occupation in Dead to Me?
My name's Chicken, and I play the bass guitar, and I sing in Dead to Me. Yeah.
Okay. Dead to Me is on a 28th date long European tour, and this is your first visit of Slovenia after 3 years.
That's right.
Do you have any yet unmarked territories in Europe, the places you'd still want to visit?
Yeah, definitely. I really want to go to Spain. We've never been to Spain. We've only done a little bit of Italy. I'd like to do some more of Italy. And, there's like a lot of Eastern Europe I'd really like to do. Like, I'd love to go to Budapest. And I'd love to do like Russia. I'd like to go to Moscow. I'd like to see that. I mean, there's nowhere I don't want to play. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see it all, man. You know?
So what are the obstacles you don't go to?
Basically, we just, if a town or a city has a punk scene and they want us to come, we'll go for sure. The only obstacles are that like some places don't have, you know, like very big punk scenes, so they don't bring a lot of bands over there, you know? But we've definitely told the people that help us get our tours here in Europe that we want to go like all over the place. So hopefully we'll get to do that.
So yeah, a few weeks ago you've made a lineup change. Before that lineup change, you were a trio, only three of you playing, and now there's four of you.
That's right.
Nathan has left the band and was replaced by Sam Johnson and Ken Yamazaki.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
That's true.
You played with this lineup, you played a first show with this new lineup just 2 days before you started this European
That's
tour.
That's right.
So it's like 8th of September, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was the reason behind this lineup change?
Well, Nathan doesn't like to tour, so it's hard. You know, touring's not for everybody. It's a kind of a hard way to live, but, you know, me and the drummer, who's my cousin, it's probably our favorite part about being in the band is touring and stuff. So, you know, it was kind of us always wanting to be gone and be on tour, and Nathan, you know, didn't really want to do that. So, he's no longer in the band, and we got the two new guys, and they want to be gone all the time. They're like me and my cousin. They want to be on tour as much as possible, so I'm excited because that means we'll get to go all over the place, hopefully, you know?
So I'm asking because a few days after this lineup change announcement, Nathan unveiled his new material of 5 songs that can be found on his MySpace page.
That's right.
So I was wondering, did you guys find out that you all wanted to take a band? I mean, that to me, in different directions, in different musical directions?
No, I don't think, it wasn't really that. It was just more that, like I said, you know, me and my cousin are really interested in being gone a lot and touring and playing live. And that's not really Nathan's favorite part of being in a band, so it doesn't really work out, you know what I mean? He writes really cool stuff, though. I love the stuff that Nathan writes. I'm excited to hear more of it. I'm sure that he'll do really well for himself playing music and writing songs, because I think he does a little bit better in that setting where it's just like him by himself, you know, and a guitar and some instruments and stuff. And me and my cousin really like playing songs live and like writing songs live and you know, in the practice space and stuff. So, you know, it's best for everybody this way.
But you've also got a side project called Bad Friends, and Nathan is in this band, right? I mean, in this side project.
Yeah, we're not doing that band anymore.
No?
No.
But, I mean, you've played, like, last year.
We did play last year at the fest,
right?
Yeah. So, we kind of started that band because it was us and Mark Miller from Strike Anywhere and Nathan. And we started that band because we wanted to be playing shows in San Francisco. Mark was living in San Francisco. And Dead to Me was, like, kind of in between getting ready to work on a new record. And we just wanted to be out playing shows around the city and stuff. So we started that band and wrote some songs and played some shows, but it was never really very serious, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, Mark moved out of San Francisco, so we can't really do that band anymore.
Yeah. You've got a new 7-inch out called Wait For It.
That's right.
We've heard one song from the 7-inch. It was Attack Form.
Yes.
Not Wait For It. It was my mistake.
It
seems that new sound, albeit still classic Dead to Me sound, mm-hmm. is much heavier, a bit more raw sound.
Yeah.
And the songs turn out to be true, straightforward, mid-tempo punk rock songs.
Yeah. I mean, we write songs in the practice space, you know what I mean? So I think that the energy that's created there is really what we're interested in releasing and putting out. We're not a studio band, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really like going to the recording studio for a long time and working on songs forever. It's like, I'd rather just write them in the room with the boys and then, you know, go record them. So the new 7-inch was done in that spirit, in the, you know, kind of the interest of just wanting to get songs out and go. And like, if we like them and they're fun and they're fun to play, then let's leave them and record them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, was Sam Johnson and Ken Yamazaki the two new members? Were they also did they also take their part in a recording of this 7-inch?
No, just because you know, geographically, Sam lives in Florida, so it was like hard. It didn't really make a lot of sense to pay, you know, to like, he would have had to buy a flight to San Francisco, you know what I mean, just for that. So for this one, we just did it really quick in San Francisco with our friend Brady at Brick Gun Records, and our friend Jackson recorded it. So we just did it really quick, me and my cousin, and Kenny was there, he helped, you know, but yeah, for the most part, it was like just me and my cousin on that recording.
So this 7-inch is your fourth release, and also the first one that was not released on Fat Records.
That's right.
Have you parted ways with this influential punk label?
No, not at all. We just wanted to do a 7-inch, and we have a friend that's got a record label in San Francisco called Brick Gun, and we know the guys at Shield Recordings over here in Europe. So we just wanted to have like a little, you know, a little something with the lineup change. We figured it was a good idea to put out, you know, a couple new songs and to have for on tour and stuff. And plus, the other thing is that we've been a band for a while now, and we don't have a 7-inch, mm-hmm. and that's ridiculous. Because we're punks, and we all have record collections, and we love 7-inches, so it made a lot of sense to just make a 7-inch, you know. But yeah, the full length will be out on Fat Records for sure.
So this 7-inch is only on, can be only found on a vinyl, or is it only also on a CD?
Just vinyl.
Just vinyl?
Yeah, yeah.
So why is that? I mean, it's like a 7-inch, I know, but...
Yeah. Just because, I mean, it's... I don't know. Like I said, we're punks, and we're record collector dorks, you know what I mean? Like, we just wanted something for our collection and stuff, you know? And, I don't know. I'm pretty excited about it because the American release is coming with this like giant kind of like photo and art book and stuff, a collection of a lot of my cousin's artwork, and I'm really excited for it. It's kind of cool to do arty stuff with releases, you know. We're real interested in that.
So you've mentioned artwork, your cousin's artwork. I mean, he's a drummer of the band Ian.
Yeah, Ian.
I mean, Dead to Me is also known as a band that does all or most of the merch and album artwork by themselves.
Right.
So, can you tell us more about, I mean, something?
Me and Ian have always loved the art aspect of punk rock, you know? Like, some of the best artwork I've ever seen has been on record covers and stuff in the punk world. And the bands that we grew up listening to and stuff in the punk world were, like, paid attention to that kind of stuff, and they had cool imagery and things like that. And he does all types of art. He paints, he does spray paint, he does like graffiti stuff, he does stencil artwork, he draws, he does a lot of cool shit. So it's just like, I really like to encourage him and his artwork because I think it's great. I'm his biggest fan. I love his artwork. I think it's awesome.
Prior to the Wait For It 7-inch, you've released your second full-length African Elephants in November 2009.
Yeah.
So what were you doing in the last 10 months?
We've been touring a lot. Yeah, we've done a lot of tours. We went and played Harvest of Hope in Florida, which is like a benefit for migrant workers and stuff. It's really, really cool to be a part of that. We played the Fest again. We toured United States with Against Me. We did some stuff with Cobra Skulls. We've just been busy. So, man, we went up the West Coast with this band, Big Kids.
So you were basically touring.
We were touring, yeah, a lot.
10 months straight.
Yeah.
So when did you find time to make those new free songs?
I'm always working on songs. We have so many songs. Like, we have at least 2 records worth of songs that are sitting around. So we just always are trying to work on songs. I love writing new songs. It's really fun. Yeah, so we always have stuff.
Yeah, you've mentioned Harvest of Hope.
Yeah.
The festival. It's the festival in Florida.
Yeah.
That it's like a benefit for migrant workers.
Yes.
I wanted to ask that that to me always mixes social criticism with personal stories, or you always use a band as a tool to explain your view on society and state and war through more personal approach to the to the lyrics. It's not like a sloganism.
Right, right.
So
yeah, again, a lot of the bands that I got into in punk rock were political bands, you know, and I have my mother's heart. She's a very outspoken lady about, you know, society and politics and stuff. So she ingrained that in me, and I don't know. I think it is important to try to sing about some of that stuff. But I don't think it's important to like sloganeer or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like it's there's other bands that do that stuff and they're probably better at it. But like, I'm more interested in like telling the story through someone else's perspective or my own personal way, and like just trying to put a different take on it, you know, to try to describe what it's actually like to live in a world where those things exist, you know what I mean? Because it fucks with me. Are you allowed to cuss?
Say again?
Are you allowed to say bad words?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, it fucks with me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're coming from San Francisco, one of the truly liberal and progressive cities in the U.S. Out of San Francisco, many radical initiatives came out in the past. It also never rains there, so they say. So I was wondering, where did all the anger that's found in your songs come from? I mean, it's kind of easier to be a rebellious band if you're from some kind of a Bible Belt town.
Right, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I think it's just the awareness. Like the awareness in San Francisco is there at all times. There's people that discuss it. There's, you know, it's talked about. People are up on the news there. People talk about those things. you know, and the town I grew up in, we had a really big Hispanic population, so it was like kind of easy to see how different groups of people get treated, you know, and like they didn't have a lot of the same rights that we had, because if they weren't citizens, they couldn't do a lot of the stuff that we did, you know what I mean, like as far as their families go and things like that. So I don't know, it's just something I've always noticed around me, and it's something that I've always like, it's always touched me personally. I don't know why.
Speaking of San Francisco again, it's also a home of one of the best and most influential punk bands called Dead Kennedys.
Yes, yeah, that was one of the first punk bands I ever got into. I love the Dead Kennedys.
So Jello Biafra, I mean, yeah, you know, he has a new project called Guantanamo School of Medicine.
Okay.
He was playing here like last month or something like
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
So do you know him?
I met him once when I used to work at Fat Records. I was downstairs in the mailroom with Floyd, and this guy pulls up outside. We had a window. You could see out onto the street, and you could see people parking, and this guy pulls up in this car, and he's kind of just, like, disheveled looking, you know what I mean? And, like, I mean, you've seen him, you know? And we were like, whoa, what's up with this guy, man? What's up with this old dude? And then, like, he was getting ready to come into Fat Records, and we're like, what is this guy? And then he got a little closer, and we're all, holy shit, that's Jello Biafra. Like, and that was it. And I met him, and he was really nice, you know? And that was it, but I've never like spoke with him really or hung out with him too much or anything. But yeah, but I was stoked to meet him. I was like, oh my god, I just met Jello Biafra. Like, I thought it was cool.
Can he be seen at some local punk rock shows?
I never see him at shows.
No?
I've never seen him at shows. Yeah, I've never even seen him around. Like, I think he hangs out in the East Bay, mm-hmm. and I think he just kind of does his thing over there.
His stuff.
All yeah.
Right. album African Elephants was printed on recycled paper, if I'm mm-hmm. right. I mean, it's a great thing, a step forward, especially for a punk band, but at the same time, it could be understood as just another part of this green economy scam, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be understood as a trendy thing,
yeah.
not a statement.
Yeah.
What were your motives behind it?
Our only motive behind it was just like, you can't help but feel bad for wasting a bunch of paper just for your stupid punk band CD, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So it was like, we were like, it's sucky that CDs are made out of plastic and all that stuff, so we were just like, well, I mean, if we have the option, let's take it, you know? It wasn't supposed to be like a really a statement or anything, you know, like I didn't even know that people knew about it, but yeah, it was just because we felt like it was the right thing to do, you know?
All right.
Yeah. That's all.
Not much behind it.
No, not too much behind it. Just, you know, whenever we have a choice to do stuff like that, we're going to do it, you know, like, just like most people do.
Yeah, it's hard to have something behind it nowadays, you know,
right.
because everyone likes talking about green stuff,
right.
green economy, but like 95%, especially
yeah.
when it comes from corporations, it's
exactly.
like basically a scam.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I can see that.
You tour quite a lot around America. You're certainly not some silver spoon suburban type of folks or type
right.
of people. I mean, quite contrary to that, you live among the common people. And what has changed in America since your beginnings in 2003?
Well, I mean, the obvious with President Obama, you know, that's changed things a little bit. it's really interesting in America to watch the way the pendulum swings, you know, like for every way it swings, you know, it swings back the other way. So it was like when George Bush was in office and stuff, there's a lot of people that were like angry and like talking about politics, and a lot of people were involved and upset about the way that he was running the country. And so there was a huge liberal push back, you know, to counter George Bush. And then Obama gets elected, and now there's a huge conservative push back, you know, with the Tea Parties people and all that stuff. It sucks. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's interesting to see how every, you know, for every extreme, there's the other one that comes right along with it, you know?
Yeah, with the Tea Party people.
Yeah.
So yeah, Chicken, thanks for the interview.
Thank you so much for the interview. This is really cool. It's really cool to see this radio station in this part of town in the lovely Valley of Flowers. Yeah, it's good to be here.
So thanks again. See you at the show.
Thank tonight. You. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Keep doing what you do, man. Awesome.
Thanks. Tole je bil intervju s Chicknom iz iz kalifornijskih Dead to Me iz San Francisca. Danes večer jih lahko ujamete v Gromki na Metelkovi skupaj z domačimi Taking Over Mars. Koncert se bo začel tam okoli 10, tako da če enkrat takrat pridete, boste seveda ujeli oba benda. Mi imamo pa zaklele za konc intervjuja, da zaključimo vse skupaj še en komad in to je seveda komad od Dead to Me z naslovom Tierra del Fuego.